Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for the opportunity of being here today with this body, a church. Thank you for Kenny. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the strength and energy that you're giving to him and healing to be here today with us. Father God, continue blessing also the church that they couldn't make it today over here. We send blessing and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father God, to be you speaking to the church today, like always. Be you speaking, not me. Remove me. Remove me, remove all my knowledge or my mind, my flesh. Remove it out of the picture and be you speaking to the church. Holy Spirit, touch their hearts and mind and transform according to our Father God. Please, we ask you this with a humble heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have been talking about this, and it looks like God is not taking out this main topic that we're talking, which is fear or being afraid of all these things that we are experiencing in our life. And today, we're going to continue talking about a little bit of that topic inside of that one, that we, you know, we learn about little strength, we learn about faith over fear, defeating God, trust, shame, and also it is not fair. That's what we talked last weekend. So today we're going to continue talking about the topic in a different manner. I hope I can explain this one really good so that way I'm not getting getting you guys confused, because the topic is going to be a little bit maybe like, what? But that's fine. Hopefully I can explain it very well so that way we can understand it. And starting with these, I want to acknowledge some phrases that we might be experiencing in our life. Those phrases, for example, maybe you heard these ones, maybe not, but something related to that, hopefully that helped you to open your mind and heart to understand where we're going. If this truly matters to you, do it. Right? Sometimes we experience that at work, maybe at home, maybe at family, in life, friendships, or anything else. Imagine how you feel when you achieve it. This could be the best decision you make today. This will save you time and money in the long run. By doing this, not only will you benefit, but also those around you. This is a unique opportunity that won't come around again. The most successful people in the field do something similar. What? I don't know right now. I find out later for you. My proposal is that we invest in this. Will you agree to try this new strategy? I ask that you consider my perspective. You only need one more step to start seeing results. How about we focus on this solution? A small change can have a big impact. And there's thousands more. But I just want to start with that, so that way we can understand if these words, phrase of, sounds encouragement, it sounds really good, and that's fine. I'm not saying nothing against those words. It just, like always, we talk about what is the background of those comments or phrases? What is the intent of the person that is sending those words? What is the receiver that is receiving those phrases and comments? So what's going on? What happened that make you receive that wording or the sender that is sending those words? And sometimes we are the senders. Sometimes we are the senders. But with which intent are you sending those words? Is there some manipulation over there to gain something? It sounds good. It sounds encouraged. But maybe the sender is just trying to get something out of you for his benefits, not necessarily for you. And that's what I want to challenge you today. Because these words sometimes get so entangled over there with some seduction. Can I use that word? Okay. And that's the topic of today. because that can bring fear to our hearts and mind. Because we don't know what is the intention. And maybe we just flow with whatever my other person, the sender, is sending to me. And at the end of the day, it will create some fear. Some feel uncomfortable. And seduction, I know the first thought is kind of like, we don't have young kids here, right? Sorry. What I'm talking about is not related to what I'm saying right now, which is sexuality. Because we can talk about seduction, we can talk about persuasion, and we can talk about deceiveness. We can talk about a different kind of wording related to that, but it's the same intent, right? It's just different ways of getting to the point that you want to get. And when I learned in the Bible, seduction is coming from a Hebrew word that it means to open up, to be spacious, to be simple, to deceive. Not necessarily sexual stuff or sexuality. It's just to deceive the person to gain something out of you. And that will bring fear. Because now that other person is taking out something from you that is just pertaining to you or is yours, that God gave you. And now you're giving it to that other person based on that manipulation, deceiveness, persuasion, or seduction. In the Bible, we can go to the Bible really quick. Ezekiel 13:10. So that way you can see what I'm saying. And this is a New King James. Different versions sometimes change. But starting in Ezekiel 13:10, it says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar. I'm just trying to show you that the word seduce is showing the Bible. And the terminology that they're using over here from the original Hebrew, it means deceive. It means like they're trying to change your mind, your heart, to bring fear to you and gain something from their side. The same thing, 2 Kings 21:9 says, but they pay no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. The same word over there. They are changing, they are seducing you to change your mentality, to change your heart, to bring you to their side. Last one that I want to share with you guys, Mark 13:22. When you see it in red, it's because Jesus Christ, Lord, spoke specific this word. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even to the elect. Jesus Christ, again, this is just the King James Version. You can see other version, it will change it to deceive, it will change it to maybe persuade, but it's the same terminology, it's the same thing. It's trying to remove something out of you. It's trying to bring you to their side and not to follow Christ in this perspective that we're talking about. And this is words from Jesus Christ, that he's saying these people, Manasseh and then 2 Kings, Ezekiel, all those people, my people, they're getting seduced. And you and me, we are getting exposed to this. Every moment. Every single second. And those phrases that I start is kind of the phrases that it can sometimes seduce you, entangle you. Like, okay, it sounds good. But if it's really not according to the will of God, or according to the plan of God in your life, or the purpose of God in your life, maybe we're not supposed to move forward with those phrases. Anyway, they sound really good to our ears, to what maybe we have as a goal or targets in our personal life over here on the earth. Maybe that's not the will of God or the purpose of God in our life. and thus creating that seduction. It's trying to bring you out of the path of God life or God word, and then bring you astray to your life. So trying to deviate you to the plan of God from your life. And that's the word seduction. It's trying to deceive you and me to get out of his path. And in the scripture, we will learn a lot of that, because when we get to the point of Jeremiah, we call it, people call it the weeping prophet. Weeping prophet. So he was all the time kind of crying, right? And I will not say anything against him, because sometimes I also cry. And you guys saw me here. Sometimes I feel the presence of the Lord really strong on me, or the fire of the word of God in me. And it's so encouraged and so powerful that it makes me cry. So I'm not going to say anything against him about that, because he felt a lot of these things. And then he was confronted by God, and he also confronted God with some words that I want to share with you guys today from Jeremiah 20. In Jeremiah 20, we start seeing a story of Jeremiah and this priest named Pashur. This priest start listening or heard the prophesying things from Jeremiah about that the Israelites, they were going through some captivity by Babylon. And the words that God was giving to Jeremiah, it was difficult words for the people. It was words like, you're going to have to go through this situation that you don't like to. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear the good things, the seduction. People want to eat more chocolate, M&M's. I'm just kidding. I love you. So Jeremiah, in this moment, he gets to this point when then in chapter 20, verse 7, he starts proclaiming to God these words. Because this guy, the priest Pashur, he put him for one day and over the gate, and then they punish him over there. And then he gets to this point in chapter 20, verse 7, and say, you deceive me. In other version, he says, you seduce me. This is Jeremiah talking to God. You deceive me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpower me, and I prevailed. I am ridiculed. All day long, everyone mocks me. He's crying. Whenever I speak, I cried out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Fear. Remember, reproach. But if I say, I will not mention this word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to sleep, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then he will prevail over him. We will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Praise God to that. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their honor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescued the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked. Curse be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. See what point this guy is getting. Cursed be the man who brought my father's the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. Man, that guy doesn't have any blame. Why are you doing that? May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave. Her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame, fear? We learned in the past that shame, it means fear. When we start from the beginning, looking at the garden. This guy right now is showing that he's afraid of what's going on. And he's telling him, you seduce me. And this is what I'm going through right now. The people are mocking me. Do you ever experience something like that when you start talking from the Lord to other people? I get exposed to that because I in my work, I work with different people. And sometimes I have the opportunity to talk about God to them. Sometimes you can see some respect. Some other times you don't see that respect. But that's fine. Because where you stand in the Lord, that you understand who you are in the Lord, that's not going to affect you. Jeremiah was affected. And it's really intriguing to me where he started talking to the Lord and says, you seduced me and I was seduced. Like, it was you that told me to do these things and I don't want to do it. It sounds like that. It sounds like he was telling God, you seduced me. You persuaded me to do these things. And this is what I'm going through. Let's go to Jeremiah 1. This is how everything starts. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I say, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and say to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I reply. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Come on. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling. I answer, it is tilting toward us from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgment on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up. Say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Ooh. Come on. I don't want to go that route. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the king of Judah, its officials, its priests, remember, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue, declares the Lord. Now why are you weeping in chapter 20? You seduce me. You deceive me. This is the moment. This is how everything starts. So this is the moment that he's saying, you deceive me. It doesn't sound like over here you were deceived. Over here you were like, God is talking to me. I'm excited. I'm going to do this. Yes, the Lord is with me. But then when we start seeing those things happening in our life, punishment, difficulty, hate, all the attacks and battles that we are receiving, oh man, what is this? I don't want to do this. That's why you're telling me that I need to preach and say your word to receive these battles, to receive this punishment? And that's when the moment you start thinking that God is deceiving you. But we need to learn and understand what is the difference between the seduction that we're receiving from the world, things, and what is God is telling you in your life. Because from the point of view of the recipient, the person that is receiving that word from God, is depending on your heart and your mind that is going to receive that as a seduction or is really a command from God, and you feel empowered that he's going to be defending you and protecting you over those things. Anyway, physically, you will feel maybe punishment. Jeremiah was receiving that punishment. Jeremiah was discouraged in that moment, and he started blaming God and saying, you deceive me. But at the same time, he was saying, I cannot stop saying your word because it's a fire inside of me. It's too much, too strong. I just want to encourage you guys today to say, don't feel that God give you a word or give you a purpose in your life and it's not going as your plan. As you expected. It's going as he's expected. Anyway, from the earth point of view, you might be feeling like it doesn't make sense. Well, for you here on the earth, it doesn't make sense. But for him, it makes sense. And when we go through the Holy Scripture, God is telling that to Jeremiah, but God talks to everyone in the whole Bible and express to them and talk to them about all the promises, about all the proclamation, all the things that declare over your life and my life that is bringing blessing, that is bringing transformation for you and for me, and blessing to a nation or maybe to a people around you. God is putting you in some places for being an impact for someone else, to be an agent of changes for that person or that people or that family or that coworkers or that anything, name it. I don't want you to think like I have to be in a stadium and impact thousands of people. If God put you to impact just one person in your life, it is what it is. That's his plan. And we have to be honored and respectful for that. Some people sometimes ask me, when we have, not just here, I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about also previous life churches. If one person just show up in a Bible study, in a prayer meeting, or in an event that you're doing, some people say, It was a failure, that event that you create. It was a failure, that Bible study. And not for me. Because that person, that only person that came, God brought it for one reason. And I have to honor that. I have to respect that. Because God touched the heart and orchestrated everything to bring that person. Maybe later he will bring 20. Maybe later he'll bring 500. I don't know. Maybe later he will bring one more again. And I have to respect that and honor that. It's not a failure. I'm blessing that life. Because God is giving me the opportunity to bless that life. If he's putting me in a work environment that is having 30 people, and he gave me the blessing to bless 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys over there, amen, let's do it. If he brings just one person, 2 person, to a Bible study, let's teach like it's for 1,000. Because it's for honoring him. Not to honor anything or anyone else here on the earth. It's to bless the life of that person. It's one of his small children that we need to be careful and we need to take care of that. We are responsible of that. And that's the first point that I want to share with you guys today. Deceive and persuade. That's the first one. We are facing those wording, those deceiveness, everything, every day in our life, persuasions every single day. And once again, I experience that a lot at work also. And I know at home sometimes, we as a sender, we send that to our kids sometimes, right? We persuade them, come on. Get up early. Clean up the room. And I will give you $5. What is the intention? You want to make sure that he's cleaning the room. Some other families or other people, maybe it will go maybe a little bit more farther. But the way that we're doing that, is that a persuasion, manipulation, seduction over there to try to gain something out of what you want? You're sending the message. You're trying to help. You're trying to maintain the house clean. But I'm talking about what you are receiving also every single day from other people, from other ministers also. What is the seduction over there? What is the persuasion over there? What is the deceivement over there? Is really blessing me? Is really transforming me? Or is going to be bringing me fear in my life? And that's the thing that we need to just be careful on that. I want to also share with you guys related to this topic, the second point, which is promises. Inside of all these deceiveness, inside of all these seduction, is always promises. Because otherwise, why you're doing it? You're also trying to gain something and the other person is trying to gain something. So if you do this, I will promise you that. And you can see a lot of things in the Bible when God is talking to the people, to the prophets and to all the people, and you can see that he's promised things. He's sending blessing with those promises. He's promising you healing. He's promising protection. He's promising provision. He's promising a lot of things. And we have the trust and the confidence that he's going to do that. That's it. But what happened when you're not seeing that? Jeremiah, I'm proclaiming your word. You say what I commanded to you. You even did a test. What you're seeing, Jeremiah, I'm seeing this, this, and that. Okay, my word is working. And if you do these, I promise you this and that. But then Jeremiah was not seeing what he wants to see. And then he started claiming against God and say, you deceived me. Do you ever went through that? Do you ever went through that moment and say, hey, God, I'm not seeing what I think is supposed to be? Or are you just like, I'm going to stand firm. Anyway, I'm not seeing what I want to see, but I'm going through the path according to your word, according to your purpose and will. I'm just walking through that path and believing and trusting in you. Anyway, I'm not seeing what I want to see. And whatever is happening in my life right now, it may be what you want to do. To transform me, to bless my life and my family or anyone else through me. Promises, promises, and promises. One beautiful word that I learned from the scripture. It is in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 22. And I'm going to try to mix both last points over here, which is promises and this one that I'm going to share with you guys right now. Second Corinthians chapter 1, 18. But as truly as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes or no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So I want to combine promises with yes and amen. Because God say a lot of promises in the Bible. And sometimes you and me, we are proclaiming. For example, I'm just going to start throwing over there. Jeremiah 29:11. For I knew the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Jeremiah 29:14. I will found by you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place for which I carry you into exile. Jeremiah 30:11. I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only in due measure. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. Ezekiel 12:28. Therefore, say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say, I will be fulfilled, declares the sovereign Lord. And I can continue. And you and me, we take those scriptures and we say, yes, the promise of God in my life. And we feel empowered. And we feel strong with those words. And I'm not removing anything out of those words. But my point is, you feel the seduction of that, emotionally talking. And when something is not going according to those scriptures, now you deceive me. You say this and that, and it's not happening. It's happening. It's just that maybe we're not seeing it that way. He's blessing you. Maybe you and I were not seeing it just that way. He's transforming us. He's bringing us to the original plan. And that's why when in the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, when he say all the promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All the promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They are all over there. the compliance of all the promises of God from the Old Testament after all the garden fall, all those promises get up that point from Jesus Christ and fulfill. Hallelujah. So all the promises right now are in Jesus Christ. Fulfill. Pay attention to what it says, 2 Corinthians. Let's go back over there. Chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, no matter how many, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen. But is it spoken by who? Come on. You and me, we are the amen, according to that scripture. You know what is amen, right? So be it. Assurance. It's going to happen for sure. God is not a liar. All his promises are yes and amen. All the promises from God are fulfilled in Christ. When you and me believe in Christ, trust in Christ, put our hearts in Christ, we become the amen. We are the amen of the promises fulfilled from God through Jesus Christ, because you and me, we trust and believe in what he did through Christ for us, for our salvation. Hallelujah. And those promises are going to be fulfilled. And it's not going to be creating any deceitfulness on us for whatever is happening in our surroundings. Continue trusting in him. Continue believing in him. Don't go to different other pathways. In the Bible, when we go to James 1, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived. My dear brothers and sisters, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Hallelujah. So you and me, we are first fruits. What? Yeah, remember. Adam, we have Adam, and then we have Jesus Christ. All the promises fulfilled over here, we trust in Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ. So now we are the first fruits starting. God doesn't change. He's not, according to Scripture, he never changed. He's the same. So it's good to go to the Old Testament and take a look how God managed some things. We can grab from their blessings and his word. Some of those words and promises, they might be specific inside of the context of something that it was happening in that moment. But we, I don't know if I can use the word appropriate, or, yeah, I take that word. I own it and I believe it. But if it's not going according to what is going in my life, because everyone have different independent situation in their life, we just need to continue trusting in him. That's it. Believing and trusting in him. And he will fulfill his promises in our life. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. He is amazing. There's a story about a guy named Danny Wallace, British guy. Not related to the Bible, but I'm just trying to mix everything. I don't know if you guys know that guy. He wrote a book based on a story that he had. And that story was based on 3 years of relationship. Broke up with the girlfriend. When he broke up with the girlfriend, then like a little bit shake his world. Stumble a little bit his world. He spent like 6 months of saying no to everything. And through all his friends. And through all the invitation. Let's go to the baby shower. Let's go to the birthday party of, no, I'm just going to sit down on the couch and say no to everything. Until one day this guy went to the bus, and then he was just on the bus and he was talking with a stranger guy over there, a beer guy, and when he was talking with him, not sure, because they never expressed anything religious over there saying that it was God or anything like that. But the guy just tell him some words, and they use the word that he have a revelation. He have a epiphany in that moment that he received those words, and those words explode inside of him and change everything. Those words were, say yes more. Say yes more often instead of no every time. And that brings me to this, because all the promises of God are yes in Him, in Christ. Think about it. This guy starts saying yes and his life starts changing drastically. Please, I'm not saying, he specified that. He say, I never say yes to all the things like criminal stuff. Hello? But he changed his mind to say yes to some things like, let's go to this event, let's go to this birthday party, let's spend time with friends, let's go to this here. And because he made those changes, he built an older relationship, he became an author. His life changed. Because he's bringing you opportunities. And instead of just living over here, he embraced the life. And I just, based on that, I just want to tell you, embrace your life with Jesus Christ. Because he's the truth. And he's the yes. In God promises. Before every yes, majority. What is supposed to be before a yes? A question. Always it have to be a question, I think so. Unless you are really excited and you say, yes, this is so good. But it's because excitement is your answer to the question inside of you of happiness. But majority of the yes or yeses in your life or no's is because a question that is coming before that. And I believe that God is asking you today, do you love me? Yes. Do you trust in me? Yes. I proclaim words to you. I declare words to you. God says to you. And you say, yes, I embrace on those words. I trust in you. I have the confidence in you, Father God. Thank you. Embrace more with Him. More. More in His life. More in Jesus Christ. Believe more in Him. You are the Amen. Jesus Christ is the yes of His promises. And don't be deceived or discouraged or seduced by things in the world. because that will bring fears in your life. Praise God. Amen. Father God, thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the touch. Thank you for allow us to feel that you are here with us, that you are talking to us. Touch the hearts. Transform us. Be you speaking always, Father God, not me. We're just sharing information, sharing your scripture, and we are trusting that where we cannot get, which is to the heart, you are getting there, and you are touching, and you are transforming, and you are doing what you need to do according to your will. Thank you for that blessing, and thank you for this time and opportunity. We worship you, and we bless you, declaring your name and the name of Jesus Christ.